May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Again, it's a delight to welcome you to today's service. Again, to say a very big thank you to those who were around, either to help or to have their lunch during the past week. It was a busy week, and the amount that have been announced can only be possible when we are able to work together. So thank you again for helping, and thank you to Iris and her team for that job well done. Thank you. Today, we are thinking about hospitality. And I wonder if anyone in this congregation, I'm not going to ask you to share that story. Maybe you could remember a time when somebody was specially nice to you. When you traveled perhaps on holidays, or maybe you were stranded somewhere, you missed your flight, or perhaps in the hospital, or maybe in the shop or somewhere, and somebody was just nice to you. Or maybe you visited a place, visited a home, and you were made to feel specially welcome. And not just that, you were served with a kapa. How did that make you feel? So today we are thinking not just about hospitality, but we're also thinking about what should be the motivation that will broaden the way we welcome people in our churches. And there's a story I stumbled into, a story of a pastor who felt that their church needed to be a wee bit more friendly. So one Sunday, like today, he announced that the following Sunday, they were going to start a custom of shaking hands and greeting each other. At the close of the service, a man turned around to a lady behind him and said, "Good morning." And she looked at him with a shock at his boldness and said, "I beg your pardon. That friendliness business doesn't start until next Sunday." I'm not sure anybody, so I didn't want to ask you to shake hands when we started the service. I wanted to see if at the end of the service somebody was going to do that. You know, we all crave to belong and to be wanted in the company of others. Our singing may be inspirational, the sermon might be uplifting. But when a visitor finds nobody who cares whether she or he is here, the visitor is not likely to come back. And that's how churches keep losing members. Abraham gives us a good example of the meaning of hospitality in the Old Testament. In the story that Jennifer read, in our first lesson, we have a picture of genuine hospitality in the ancient world. A respected father, Abraham, sat at the tent door in the shade. I don't know how possible it is to do that here in Kaluk, to sit outside maybe during winter. So Abraham was sitting out there to enjoy the refreshing air. I remember in March when I was away in Nigeria, a favor called one day and said, "It is snowing, the children can't go to school." And incidentally, that day, I was sweating profusely, wearing my shirt. And I said to people around, "Can you imagine this? They can't go to school because it is cold and it is snowing. And here it is hot." So you can appreciate the situation where Abraham was. It was really hot inside, so he needed fresh air outside. But sitting there in the ancient world, it wasn't just because they wanted fresh air, but they wanted to have a feel of what was happening in the community, how people were passing by and all that. So when he spotted the three strangers, Abraham ran quickly to greet them. And he hurried off to instruct Sarah to prepare bread for a meal. And he chose an animal for the feast and served them. Now, if you read beyond verse 8 to about verse 15, you will see what again happened in the course of their interaction. As the strangers began to eat, they asked, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Abraham said, "There in the tent." So one of the visitors said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year." Now remember, at this time, Abraham was 100 years and Sarah was about 90 years. So, and as at that time, they hadn't a baby. But this one of the strangers said, "By this time next year, I was going to come back and Sarah will have a child." So when Sarah heard that, she laughed. She laughed at herself, perhaps disbelieving, because she thought of her age, 90 years. I don't know how we'll feel if that happens in Kaluk. Maybe that will make a very big storyline. But anyway, Abraham never knew that the people he was entertaining were not ordinary travelers, that they were messengers of God. He never knew about that. But he was caught to realize this when it is said in verse 13 and 14, the Lord spoke to Abraham saying, "Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, will I truly have a child now that I am old?" And the messenger went on to say, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And I want to pause a little bit here before continuing with the whole discourse on hospitality. And I would like to ask us, in your own experience and work, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything so difficult that the Lord will not do for us? God works in mysterious ways. He meets our needs in ways that are not our ways and in times that are not our choices. Like Abraham and Sarah, we may have suffered disappointments, delays. We may have waited for blessings that seem always just beyond reach. But you know what? The God of Abraham and Sarah is with us. That God is still alive, and that God is right here by your side. That God will not fail you. He will not forsake us. He will finish everything he has said concerning you and I. Today, we associate the word stranger with caution and fear. Don't talk to strangers, we tell our children. We watch our children carefully in stores and even in our own backyards. We have good reasons, anyway, to exercise caution and discernment. But perhaps our wariness makes us miss opportunities for entertaining angels. Quite different from our modern thinking, hospitality is not about entertaining family and friends. Hospitality is not expecting others to be like us, or maybe giving a token hello, or allowing someone to be present but not including them in the conversation. Hospitality is the act of giving friendship to others, especially others who are different from us. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, a tax collector, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. This request was met with public criticism, but allowed Jesus to make a definite point about his mission. As Leslie said, Jesus reaches out to people not because they stand well in society or because there are some beautiful points in their character. The Bible teaches us that Christianity is about open hands, open hearts, and open doors. It is opening our doors to people. The apostles of the early church fully understood the importance of their openness and acceptance of others, making outsiders to be insiders, taking people from the margin to the center. And that was really the call, and is still the call, of our congregations today. In Matthew Gospel chapter 25, from verse 34 to 35, we are reminded that hospitality counts as an evidence of our love for Christ. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, as printed in the order of service, our memory verse for today, the writer says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it. There is no doubt that hospitality is part of who we are as people of God. It is our blood, our DNA. Indeed, it is a trademark of those who have been saved. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And who knows, people of God, if by reaching out to strangers, we too may be hosting a messenger of the living God. And so this week, give it a go. Amen.